This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we thank you for this opportunity on this day. As we've been celebrating, and many have been celebrating, the 4th of July is Independence Day. We know that has been, for the United States of America, that is yet to be united. We pray in a special way that you touch our hearts and our minds, God, that we would be exactly what you want us to be, so this nation would be exactly what you desire this nation to be, and that this world would be what you desire this world to be. Moving us in a special way, God, that we can actually, honestly be free indeed. Have your way, God. You're the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will. While we're waiting, we're yielded, and we're still, God. Speak to us that we, your servants, might hear. Speak to us, God, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what distractions may be in our homes, may be in our cars, may be in wherever we are right now. God, speak to us today, God, that we may hear from heaven, that we may hear your voice, that we may hear you, God, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that you would transform us to be everything you desire that we would be. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Bless us now as you speak to us in the precious, powerful, and peaceful name of Jesus, we pray. Have your way, God. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Free indeed. The preamble of the Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The Declaration of Independence states the principles upon which our government and our identity as Americans are based. Unlike other founding documents, the Declaration of Independence is not legally binding, but it is powerful. President Abraham Lincoln himself called it a rebuke and a stumbling block to tyranny and oppression. It continues to inspire people around the world to fight for freedom and equality. All men created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes, I know as we talk about the Declaration of Independence, as we talk about the 4th of July, matter of fact, it was John Adams who was saying that actually it was July the 2nd that he thought would be the date that all of us would be celebrating. But the document actually had been formalized on July the 4th. But it talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Understand this, true happiness and true joy can only be found in the Creator, the one who created us and made us free. Free. What does it mean to be free? Originally in this document, it was talking about independence from Great Britain. So as a nation, we as the colonies could be free. Of course, it was written that all men were created equal, but the ones who wrote that may not have meant all men and all women and all people, but that's how it's written. And if we take it at face value, understanding who God is and how God can allow things to happen in our lives and in the lives of those around us till we could get significant help from his word and what we're believing and what we hear and what we say. We know that when they were talking about being free, they were not talking about those who were enslaved. As a matter of fact, right here in Savannah, Georgia, right here as we talk about our congregation at First African Baptist Church, those who were disciples of First African, members of First African, along with Pastor George Lau, actually end up being pro-British because the British said, if we win this war, we will not have slavery in this colony. So who would you expect? The Reverend George Lyle and the congregation and all of those who were enslaved, what side would you expect them to be on? But yet we know the British lost the war, and for fear of being re-enslaved, George Lyle sailed to Jamaica with the British and started the First Baptist Church in Jamaica. But he left Andrew Bryan, his wife Hannah, and others right here to continue. But as we talk about that, we realize that even as you notice a monument in Franklin Square, that's a monument to the Haitians, and the Haitians came and helped fight with the colonists to defeat the British, because the British were colonizing all over. And so that monument is to the Haitians who helped the colonists to win. So now the colonists are talking about freedom from Great Britain. And why were they talking about it? Particularly, it had a lot to do with paying taxes. They were paying taxes. The colonists were paying taxes, but not having any representation in Great Britain. They had no representation in Parliament, but yet they were being taxed right here, and they felt that taxation without representation was not fair. And you know of the great Boston Tea Party. They, instead of being taxed by the tea, they threw the tea in the harbor. But listen, I can agree with them. It's not fair to be taxed without representation. That's what Washington, D.C. has been talking about for years, how they'll be taxed and don't have statehood. But even now, as we talk about it, you say, well, why would anybody tax you and you don't get any benefits? You have no representation. Well, I can say this, even here in Georgia right now, we have those who have been incarcerated. And as we say, those who have paid their debt to society. And even after they paid their debt to society and they're back in the community working and paying taxes, they still are not allowed to vote. That sounds a lot to me like taxation without representation. There's a lot that still needs to happen so we can say that we are free and that we're doing those things that are right and pleasing, even in the sight of God and man. So what is being free? Free to do what? To be independent of what? The truth of the matter is, we actually enslave ourselves. Shakespeare said in one of his plays, to thine own self be true. Black lives matter. For a moment, though, I want you to take and realize this. Your life matters. You need to love you truly before you can really love others. God tells us clearly, we shall love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Possibly the reason why we're so corrupt in our nation, in this world, in our homes, in our lives, is not so much of the outside forces that seem to constantly enslave us, but it could primarily be about the forces that lie within. Many of us just don't like us. I said it, yes. You got to deal with you liking you, or you loving you. Need to really be free before we can continue our campaign to free others and restore others' rights. Others' rights, why not first restore yours? Start by freeing you. Yeah, free you. Yeah, I like t-shirts and everything when somebody gets incarcerated. Free John Boy. Free Jacob. No, free you. So how can you be free? I'm glad you asked. Seeing that you truly want to be free, and free indeed, let's take a look at what true freedom looks like. Jesus says in John 8, 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We somehow naturally in this world gravitate to sin. We get caught up in it. We allow sin to control us. We allow sin to control our thoughts. We allow sin to control our actions. We allow sin to control our money. We allow sin to control our feelings. Question. How much more money would you have if you didn't spend it on sin? Don't look around. Look straight at me. Yeah. How much more money would you have if you didn't spend it on sin? How much more money would you have if you didn't spend it on sinful habits? How much more would you have if you didn't just spend it on sinful stuff? Don't answer this out loud, but how far will you travel to sin? I'll never forget, Pastor, I used to be under in Atlanta, and he was telling me, he said, tell me, I'll never forget, I was younger, he said, I wanted to go and just be able to go in the liquor store and get me some liquor. I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. He said, I just wanted to go do that, but I couldn't do it here in Atlanta. So he got in the car. He started driving up 75. He drove and he drove. Found himself in Tennessee. And once he got in Tennessee, he didn't go to a major city. He went to one of the little country towns in Tennessee in the middle of nowhere. Walked in the liquor store. Bought what he had to buy. Came out the liquor store, and just before getting in this car, person said, hey, Reverend, how you doing? He said, really? We up here? I mean, for all that, he could have saved the money for driving all the way to Tennessee, been right there in Atlanta. How far do we go to sin? And listen, don't act like you don't know what sin is. I know we keep blurring the line and nobody really knows what sin is. You know, I just made a mistake. I just did this, whatever. All right, fine. But we do recognize that anything that displeases God is sin. Whenever you miss the mark of what God has set for those who love him, it is sin. We miss the mark. And sin is not just the stuff we do, but sin is also the stuff we don't do. There's stuff we should do that we don't do. We sin when we fail to do his will. We sin when we don't care about others. We sin when we criticize and condemn and don't help. You've heard me say this many times. I thank God for Bible study. We use this passage. I thank God that we have it memorized. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sometimes we spend so much time condemning others, and God is not pleased with condemning. When we fail to love God, and we fail to love as God commands us to love, as sin. When we fail to forgive, as God forgives us, that's sin. He said, you ought to forgive others as I forgive you. Sin has enslaved us. Sin has captured us. I don't need you to confess too much, but there's somebody here who recognizes that when you get caught up in sin, and whatever the sin is, sin become habit forming. When it become habit forming, you don't know what to do with yourself. And sometimes you want to make whatever the sinful thing is, you want to make it right. In your mind, it's right. You can find a lot of friends that think it's right, but that does not make it right. You know what sin is, and you know what God has called you to do. How many of you ever realize when you get caught up in sin, you get stuck in such a way that you just keep on sinning and sinning and sinning, and you become a slave and don't realize you're enslaved? I remember talking to someone about stopping a certain habit. Actually, it was dealing with drugs, and beside it being illegal, I was just telling them, you know, really not need not participate in this, and not participate in it. He said, Pastor, you need to recognize, I can stop anytime I want to. I'm not an addict. I'm not addicted to this. I can stop anytime I want to. I said, really? I said, you're not addict? No, I'm not an addict. I can stop anytime I want to. I said, okay, do this for me. Well, why don't you just stop then? Why, you see how it's ruining your life? You see what you're having to do? You see how you have to call me? Why don't you just stop? He said, I'll stop whenever I want to. He said, I just don't want to. I said, you're a slave. You're addicted because you don't want to. That's all what it means. And it happens to us in our lives many times so quickly that we don't realize that we've been enslaved. But praise be to God. Jesus came to set us free. Yeah, you can be free, and you can be free indeed. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The word of God says Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise his holy name. Believe that and live that. Sin enslaves, but Jesus sets us free. Let me say it again. Sin enslaves, but Jesus sets us free. Not because we deserve it, but because of his grace, his love, his mercy. Now, I know we think about it. Don't look at me. I'm not looking at you. Don't look at other folk. Don't look around trying to find out who the perfect persons are and who the people who have not sinned. The Bible is clear. We all have sinned and have come short. Let me say that again. We all have sinned and come short. I like how Reverend Little used to put it. He said, it's not y'all have sinned, it's all have sinned and come short. So don't start thinking about all these various kind of sins and you, oh, those people are the ones that's really sinning. They're evil. Oh, that person evil. That person evil. No. Let's do, as we go to this table, let's do what the Bible says, what Paul says, let a man examine himself. Let a woman examine herself. Let's examine ourselves. It says, we all have sinned and have come short. And the wages of sin is death. What we deserve because of sin, what we deserve of not following what God would have us following, what we deserve for not loving like we ought to love, what we deserve for not caring like we ought to care, what we deserve but twisting things around to fit what we want instead of what God wants, what we deserve is death. For the wages of sin is death, comma, but the gift of God, hallelujah somebody, the gift of God is eternal life. Not because we've been so good, not because we're so wonderful, not because we're so smart, not because we have everything together, but because of his grace, because of his love, because of his mercy. He loves us so much. When we come to the communion table, when we come to this time, when we come to celebrate, you say, well, Pastor, why are you always talking about the fact that Jesus came through 40 and two generations? It's because that's what sets us free. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Think about it. Whatever sin you've done, you tried to wash it, you tried to drink it out, you tried to smoke it out, you tried to have sex to get it out, you tried all kind of stuff to get rid of it, and it's still there. But what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If we're to get to the point where we need to get to in America, we have to start with each one of us individually asking God to clean us up in such a way
that we will walk right, talk right, live right, do right, and treat other people right. When we begin to treat people the way God wants us to treat others, when we begin to love and care and share and do the things God wants us to do, the way God wants us to do it, when God wants to do it, how God wants us to do it, not only will you be free, but you position yourself where others too can be free. There's no freedom like freedom in Christ, who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, I know you think, well, what does it take for all this? How do I get to be free? You're listening right now. You're watching right now. You're conflicted. You have all kind of stuff going on in your life. A lot of people have been looking down on you. A lot of people talking about you. A lot of people scandalizing your name. But listen, my brother, listen, my sister. You don't have to stay where you are right now. God loves you. No matter what anybody else and everybody else says about you, God loves you and cares for you. Well, Pastor, how do you know God loves me? I know he loves you because Jesus did come through 42 generations. How do you know that God loves me? I know God loves you because he cares so much that as Jesus walked on this earth and went about doing good, they talked about him. They ridiculed him. They called him all kind of names. But look at what our Lord and Savior did. He lived on this earth. And he did not sin while he walked, taught, and lived on this earth, even though he went through the same temptations we go through, even though he went through the same hardships we go through. He lived a perfect life so he could be a perfect sacrifice. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming in the wilderness, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin does not have authority over you. Sin does not have power over you. The penalty of sin does not have victory over you." We are free from the power of sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. But we are not yet free from the presence of sin. We still would be in the presence of sin. We still will have temptation. But we have an opportunity to look to God, to plead the blood of Jesus, and know that what Jesus did will put us in a right relationship with God when we can get better and better and better and better and live for God each and every day. Well, what did Jesus do? I'm glad you asked. He allowed men to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, because he loves you so much, on the cross because he loves me so much, he died. He died on the cross. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us. He sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to walk as the Lord would have us walk. The Holy Spirit empowers us to talk like the Lord would have us talk. The Holy Spirit empowers us so the Word of God is true when it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." We have power living in us. You have the power to be free. You have the power to live like God wants you to live. You have the power to cause others to be free in Christ. We ought to tell it everywhere we go. We ought to tell it how much he loves us. We ought to tell it how much he cares for us. We ought to tell it how much he forgives us. We ought to tell it on the mountaintop. We ought to tell it down in the valley. We ought to tell it in our homes. We ought to tell it everywhere we go. He loves us. We can say it like the songwriter said, "I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free." Come on, say it with me. I'm free. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to hold your head down. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter what the past has done to you. What matters is you have right now. When you can say, "Yes, Lord. Yes. yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes, Lord. Change my mind so I can think right. Change my heart so I can love right. Change my feet so I can walk right. Change my hands so I can do right. He'll do it, I tell you. He'll do it, I tell you. Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm free. I'm free. Celebrate your Independence Day. You're not independent from Christ. We're dependent on Christ. But he set us free. Somebody ought to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.